Hello, welcome to the Big Scuba Show.
Hi, my name's Andy Lear. I'm a mobile spray tanner from Surrey, and I'm here with Gemma and Ian on the Big Scuba podcast to talk about scuba poetry.
So here we are,
once again. Hello everyone, welcome back to the Big Scuba podcast. My name is Ian. I shall be your dive master for this episode. This episode is sponsored by the lovely people at Narctet 90. Narctet 90 are beyond technical.
Yes, so if you want to look Narctet 90 up, go to their website www.narctet90.com.
Go there. And with me is...
Hello, my name is Gemma. I am the other co-host and welcome to the podcast.
Yes, thanks for downloading this episode. This is 178.
And we're over 4 years old.
Yes. So what is this podcast all about? So as Gemma said, we've been going 4 years. And if you look back, we talked to many people from divers, explorers, astronauts, people who love just being in the water.
Artists.
Poets. Actually, I think this is our first poet.
It is, yes, yeah. But anybody connected to the watery world that's got a story to tell with a passion, we'll talk to them.
We certainly will. And also we go out to businesses and, you know, and look at what they're doing in the diving community, diving industry, if they are making products or if there's something like Deep, where they are in ocean exploration as
yes,
well.
So, yeah.
You know, we'll look at different companies as well.
And so, it's in the hope to inspire people to look a bit further into the underwater world, ocean conservation, and maybe try putting their head under the water, either snorkeling or scuba diving.
Yeah, and we try and have a bit of a laugh with it. It's all a little bit, you know, I suppose sometimes it'd be a bit tongue-in-cheek. And today we've got a very different view of diving. We've got somebody who's with us you may have heard of before, I don't know. His name is Andy Lear, as in King Lear.
And Andy contacted us saying that he'd written some scuba poetry.
Yeah.
So we thought, well, come on. Yeah, tell us all about it.
He's also a mobile tanner guy as well.
Mobile spray tanner.
Yeah, so you didn't fancy that?
No.
You didn't need your you always go brown anyway, don't you?
Yes, but yeah, you can look Andy up for his mobile spray tanning services.
Yes. Anyway, so we're going to talk to Andy, and that's coming up. We've got a bit of a celebration as somebody who we met a few weeks ago, Deep, has done 40 years at Paddy.
Yeah, 40. That's
Mark
amazing.
Mark Caney, brilliant. Congratulations to Mark. 40 years, you know.
Certainly
40 years for any being at one company is massive, isn't it?
Yeah, so he's definitely Paddy through and through. He's the industry relations and training executive for Paddy.
He'd be like a stick of rock, cut him in half, cut him through in the middle, and he'd be Paddy around all the way around the outside.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll have him on the podcast at some point. But he's obviously been around the industry, done lots of travelling.
Can you imagine Paddy 40 years ago though? What a different organisation
yes,
that'd be.
Yes.
Diving 40 years ago, what a different sport it was. You know, when you look at the technology, how things have come on over, you know, Mark has got a breadth of huge amount of experience.
Yeah, even looking at dry suits, you know, we've been doing a bit with dry suits and sanity and real diving
recently. Was the female dry suits 40 years ago?
And the technology of the material and the sustainability is just incredible.
It's big. So, I want to say big congratulations
yes,
to Mark.
Definitely.
For that. What have you been up to?
You've done Dive Master. We tried diving the week before, but other than that, we've been working on our dive fitness quite a lot.
You've
been running, you've been crossfitting, I've been gymming.
Yeah, last weekend I was at Stony Cove for Crystal Sea doing dive master duties.
Yep, very well.
That was all really good. That was quite a nice weekend actually.
The weather was okay, wasn't
weather
it?
Was good. Well, the weather was better on the Saturday than the Sunday. It was really busy at Stony on Saturday. Several schools were there. Car park was rammed. Lots of swimmers. Crazy. And it's really weird, actually, because, like, usually the water at Stony would be about sort of 4 degrees cold. This sort of time. It's got that, it would have that sort of zing to the water where you look at the water and it's that cold. You can almost see it almost bubbling. It's got that...
It's a bit steamy looking, isn't it?
Yeah, you know. And but this year, because we haven't had the winters, have we? I think it's about 9-10 degrees.
Double figures now, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, the visibility last weekend was better than the previous.
Yeah, it wasn't very good. It was half a metre.
Pea soup a couple of weeks ago. But last weekend, the visibility was much better. I think we sort of got somewhere between 3 and 5 metres for most of it. And then when you went off the shelf a bit, it got even better. So on Sunday, we took the students. I was on open water. So we did 3 dives on the Saturday. That way it all went really well. Really great students. They picked it up, done all the skills. And then on the Sunday, we took them down 15 metres. So they got experience of a bit of depth. And really clear, much clearer off the shelf. But the weather wasn't so good, so on the Sunday. Yeah. But it was a nice weekend.
But it's definitely getting busier. I saw Matt Rivett posted yesterday to say it was really busy.
Yeah.
But it's diving season has started.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So that's good.
Yeah. We've done some running today, haven't we?
We have, yeah. We've done a 5K today. So yeah, it's just really important to keep your dive fitness up. We say it over and over, but yeah, it just helps hand in hand with your air consumption, you know, lifting the tanks and just being healthy while you're diving.
Well, it does, yeah. Eat well.
Yeah, so I've been out on paddleboard as well. Finally been...
Well, you've got this flash new camera.
Yes, so Insta360, if you've heard of it, it's an Insta360 3. Comes with an invisible selfie stick, and they've also supplied us with a dive casing.
I've seen a few of the old Instagrammers, and they're, you know, doing like on the water with the what do you call them, with the
foils,
hydrofoils,
yeah,
and whatever.
Looks kite
amazing.
Surfing,
kite,
yeah,
surfing.
Yeah, so it's a camera that gives you a 360 view.
Right. Okay.
So it sort of stitches the.
Could we stick it on the back of the truck?
Yes, it's got. You can put it basically anywhere where you take an action camera.
Yeah, because we need to do some more stuff with Ford. We should be hopefully doing some more stuff with Ford later this year. So it'd be good to use that for that as well.
Yeah, so keep an eye on the social media. We'll put some film up of the Insta360. I've been out on the paddleboard, used it on that. There will be some footage, a bit of underwater footage we took when the visibility wasn't that great.
Yeah. What's the first name of the lady who you deal with?
Faye and
Triumph. Shout out to Faye.
Yeah, and if you want to have a look at the 360 store, there's a link in the show notes, so you can have a look. They don't just do a 363, there's proper like action cameras like GoPros as well. So, but they've got a whole range, and the quality of the
We were going to take it we took it diving, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago, but the visibility was just rubbish.
Yeah, we've got pictures of us jumping in.
Yeah, it was like pea soup.
But I'll have another look at that and get that out there. But again, it's a great action camera, and you can take it diving, and especially in like blue water diving.
If you've got the housing.
They are water, you can take them up to 33 feet. Underwater without any casing on, but I think
it's 10 meters, isn't it?
Yeah, so but I think even if I'm going in the river, I'm just gonna
should be all right. I just think, the thing is, it's not just the diving, it's when you de-kit and things that. Yeah,
it's better to be safe,
put it in a case, aren't you?
Yeah, so we're gonna use it again.
It's not very big, is it? It's only about
it's lovely,
probably about bigger than this mic, is it? It's about.
Yeah, even if you're going on holiday with like crystal gin clear visibility, it would really work. There's lots of footage there, and it's just incredible. And you've got this 360 view all around you, and you can edit it. And the editing software on the computer is very straightforward, and you can download an app as well.
Even I might be able to do it.
Very easy. Yeah, it's all about sort of keyframes, and there's lots of filters. It's a bit like any editing video software.
Right.
Okay. Just obviously you're working with a 360 degree view.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
So
sounds good.
Definitely have a look at the link, and watch out for some more adventures with the Insta360.
Yeah. Brilliant. And also if you get a chance, have a look at our YouTube. We've got some more YouTubes coming out hopefully this week regarding Santi. So, you know, we'll get them out. We've just recently put some out with, you know, what to do about getting measured up for a dry suit and undersuits.
Yeah, the whole experience. And our YouTube channel, yeah, follows some of our adventures diving. And we mentioned Ford earlier, so we've had a number of Ford vehicles. So we've done our reviews of those. So if you're a fan of the Ford brand and the wheels, then have a look. And
well, they got the new Explorer out.
They have, out,
so it's quite smart, 100% electric.
Yeah, and we've covered an E-Transit. We've covered Raptors, Wildtrak, Ranger. What else have we covered? Cougar.
Cougar, yeah.
Yeah, Mustang Mach-E. Yeah, so it's been really exciting. So have a look at the YouTube channel, The Big Scuba, and please subscribe and like.
Absolutely. And then also, we should say about NART, who are going to be sending us a Ratio computer.
Yep, NART 90 have just linked up recently with Ratio Computers. They're an Italian dive computer manufacturer. And NARCT 90 are going to distribute in the UK for them, but also be a service centre in the UK. So that's really exciting. So, and their computers look really bright and colourful and, something new on the market.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great. Okay. Right.
Right. We better talk to Andy, the scuba poet. So this is Andy Lear, episode 178, the scuba poet, and he's going to read us some poetry as well. Welcome to the Big Scuba Podcast. So, just for our listeners, you made contact with us to say that you have written some scuba poetry.
Yes, I thought it might be something slightly different for your podcast. I don't think I've heard any so far.
No, you are the first.
So, if we just go back to your diving, how did your diving journey start?
Well, once upon a time, back in 1999, I took it into my head to start scuba diving, and I joined a local, scuba place in Surrey, and I did my paddy. I started to do my paddy. Really enjoyed the swimming pool stuff. Although on one occasion I was torpedoed out of the water by the instructor, and I said, "Yeah, what would you do that for?" And it soon became obvious what he'd done that for. I still had the mouthpiece in my mouth, but the hose had come off. So I was like literally less than a second away from an entire lung full of water. He wouldn't have killed me, but it would have been very unpleasant indeed, you know, and I wouldn't have enjoyed that. But that didn't happen. Really enjoyed the swimming pool stuff. And then went on to the open water in Raisbury. And that's when things went a bit wrong. I did my BCD way too tight. In fact, I did it as tight as it would go, to be honest. And this is the cardinal sin. Nobody had done a buddy check, or if they had, they hadn't done it very well. I stepped off the pontoon and I've sunk like an absolute stone. It's freezing cold, as you can well imagine. I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. I've tried to inflate my buoyancy jacket and it won't inflate because it's done way too tight. In fact, the only thing it's done is stopped me from expanding my lungs. So I thought I was dying, basically. I was suffocating. I could not breathe. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't see. And I was freezing cold. And somehow I managed to sort of scramble my way to the surface. I shouldn't be telling this story, really. I hope it doesn't put people off. But it has got a happy ending. Bear with. But I sort of scrambled back to the, to the surface. But every time I went back in the water, my heart was just beating and beating and beating. And I couldn't do it. Every time I went back in the water, my heart was going like that. And I couldn't make myself do it. And for the first time and only time in my life, I just bottled it. I said, I just can't do it. And they said, well, when you're ready, go again. But I just never was ready. And that was a very short-lived diving career.
Sounds like you needed to choose a different dive shop.
Well, that's true. Unfortunately, they're out of business now. So I wouldn't name names anyway, but they do no longer exist, which is probably a good thing. But it must have been less than a year later, I found myself in South Africa. It was a works jolly for high-performing salesmen. Well, I was neither high-performing nor a salesman, but I'd made them a few quid and I was in fairly good odour and I'd managed to blag my way on this thing. And we were down in Cape Town and there was a dive shop there and I explained the situation to them. And these guys were brilliant. They were really, really good. First of all, they needed to know that I'd done the swimming pool stuff. And this is in the year 2000, so there was no internet really worth speaking of. But faxes were sent around the world, if you remember them. And they finally believed that I'd done the swimming pool stuff. And then they took me to a place called Sandy Cove. not to be confused with Stony Cove. Sandy Cove is a glorious place in things. It's about 5 miles out of Cape Town. They didn't tell me about the sharks, and probably just as well, but they took me out there. And we started off doing everything right. They said, right, well, we'll start off with your jacket inflated on the surface so that you know that there'll be room for your lungs to expand. And you know that there's be perfect visibility and it won't be freezing cold and it'll all be lovely. And then when you're ready, you know, just sink below the surface and you'll be diving. And I was fine on the surface. I didn't have a problem with it. I think I started off with a snorkel, to be honest. But then, yeah, then I switched the reg and everything was fine. But I've got about 2 feet down. Your heart's beating again. Oh no, not again. And the further I go, the faster it's beating. I thought, damn it, I'll die before I let this happen again. There's no way I'm going to be beaten by it the second time. And I forced myself down. And eventually, well, not eventually, it can't have been any time at all. There was an arch, like a trellis almost, an arch of seaweed. And along the bottom of the sand was, I want to say a manta ray. It was a ray of some sort. And basically the whole thing was just gobsmackingly beautiful. And I mean, you know, you know all about this. It not only stunningly beautiful down there, but the weightlessness gives it a sort of magical quality that, you know, that you can't get anywhere else. And I just forgot. My heart stopped beating madly. I just forgot to be scared, really. I was just so in awe of the situation. I thought, oh, this is brilliant. And yeah, and I really loved it. And I've never been, you know, I've never had that sort of panic again since. Mm. So that was brilliant, and that's how I got back into diving. Unfortunately, when I got back to England, I think it hadn't been long before the swimming pool stuff had run out, and I got distracted by other things. And I felt that I'd righted a long-standing wrong anyway, so I got a bit distracted, and I didn't really take up diving again till just over a year ago. So there was a sort of well over a 20-year-old gap. Between then and now, but that's how I got started.
Yeah. So now, do you dive in the UK or have you dived abroad?
Yeah. No. I do dive in the UK. I joined BZAG, but first of all, I didn't. My girlfriend organised a holiday to Cyprus. Blimey, what a holiday that was! Two of us, 7 nights in a hotel, flights, transfers, £188 each.
Wow.
It costs more than that to stay at home, wouldn't it? I mean, how can that not be? That is just unbelievable. And of course, I made up for that by the diving. But yes, I did my paddy open water in Cyprus, in Pathos, actually. I didn't dive the Zenobia. I was only allowed down to 18 at that stage. But it's so cheap, I'll definitely go back there and sort that out. And then when I came back, then I joined BZAC. Because I think PADI is quite good for you know, quick and easy sort of qualifications. They're less helpful, I think, if you actually want, you know, to find some dive buddies and you want to find, you know, to go diving in this country and you want to find people to dive with. So yes, I did my, first of all, I did my PADI open water. Then I started on my BZAC sports diver. Then I did my PADI advanced open water, which I did mostly in Spain in the Costa del Sol. Although for one day we drove across to Gibraltar because it was only an hour and a half drive. And yeah, there was better diving there and a couple of wrecks and things. And then I passed my, you know, by BZAC sports diver. So yeah, that's the sort of level. I mean, most of your guests are technical divers with decades of experience and thousands of hours underwater. I'm just a humble advanced open water with this paddy sports diver, but I've written a few poems which might be of interest.
Yeah. Well, it's good, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of diver you are, we're just interested in people that are passionate about and get some enjoyment from it, and anything that can kind of promote diving to the non-divers in this world.
Did your family dive?
No, none of them. No, well, that, I mean, my parents are dead now, but my sister's still alive. I've tried to talk her into it, but she won't have it. My girlfriend can't even swim, so she's certainly not going to start diving. So short answer is no, I'm afraid not.
So where's your nearest dive site in the UK?
Raysbury. It's half an hour away.
Mm.
It's not my favorite location, but you know, it does for training stuff. And I think if you can dive there when you know, the fish is so poor you can barely see the inside of your mask, so if you can dive there you can dive pretty much anywhere, I'd have said.
Yeah, we did go there in November last year, and
did you see your hand in front of your face?
No, and being new people there, we didn't, you know, it's difficult. You need a guided tour, I think, to find out where everything is.
Well, there is, there, to be fair, there is a lot there, but you'd never know it, you know.
Yeah. So scuba poetry, how did that come about?
Well, as I say, after I kind of gave up scuba for the first time, I got into yachting, and I wrote a few poems about yachts, or yachting. Some of them actually, I think there's a book available on Amazon. And I think if you've got an iPhone, if you just look up Andy Lear in iBooks or Apple Books, yeah, there's a free download of a book of nautical poetry. Mm-hmm. And I have written poems before, and I've written songs and things. So, you know, it's something I sort of do anyway. So it was an obvious thing to do, really.
Yeah. Okay. Well, should we kick off? And have you got one that you want to read out?
Yeah. Let's kick off. If I can find one. Here's one. Here's one that I think probably most divers will relate to. It's called No Diving Today.
Okay.
I was going to go diving last April. I'd booked a hotel by the sea. It had cost quite a bit, but I figured that it would be worth it for what I might see. But then on the way to the dive shop, there was terrible news on the way. The dive master was ill. He had just caught a chill. There won't be any diving today. I was going to go diving last weekend. My buddy and I were all set. We had driven for hours, and there were a few showers. We didn't mind getting that wet. But bad news lay in wait when we got there. The guy said, "I'm sorry to say, it's a bit of a pain. It's the wrong sort of rain. There won't be any diving today." I was going to go diving last Tuesday. I was going to dive the south coast. When I got to the site, things were far from all right when we managed to track down our host. He said, "I am terribly sorry. There's not that much more I can say. We are right up the creek because the rib sprung a leak. There won't be any diving today." When I think of the dives I've missed out on and the dives that I've so nearly done, it is really too bad, and it makes me quite mad when the year's total dive count is none. Well, diving's a wonderful hobby. It's my favourite pastime by far, but it's very frustrating, and now I'm debating on whether to learn the guitar.
Very good.
Very good, yeah.
So these just come into your head, do they, or do you... You've just got a natural...
No, I have to sort of work on it. Once I've got the germ of an idea... There's a wonderful thing called Rhyme Zone, which Lord, that makes my life so much easier. It's a website, and you just go to rhymezone.com, and it will find useful rhymes. I've tried using ChatGPT just to sort of brainstorm. It's never come up with a decent poem, but you know, it sometimes, you know, allows you to work on something, and it comes up with a really bad idea that you've then got to put right. It's not that hard, I don't think, but maybe some people would think that. I don't know.
Is it a bit like dive? Is it like diving, making, you know, creating a poem? You have to plan it and then sort of follow that through.
I suppose, yeah, in a sort of way, but obviously it's a lot drier. I suppose you could draw parallels, but you wouldn't want to overdraw them. You could maybe over-egg that pudding a little, I think.
Yeah,
we could probably do a poem with our full face masks.
We could, thought, underwater. You know, yes.
Well, we've had a magician on.
Yeah, we have.
To do a underwater trick.
Underwater tricks underwater. Yeah, yeah. And
what else have we had? Painters.
Yeah.
Sculptors. Simon Morris and.
Have you had that basket weaver? There is a Paddy
underwater.
There is a Paddy speciality underwater basket weaving or underwater zombie hunting. Have you had a zombie hunt yet?
Yeah, I've heard about the zombie hunting. Not done the zombie hunting. No,
but it's good if it
basket weaving.
Yeah, no, I haven't. But it's good if it helps people take a little bit of distraction away from them thinking or getting anxious. It's like the magician one was really good, wasn't it?
Because... Yeah, but hold on, you're not going to be on a dive and go, "Hold on,
everyone.
I'm just going to start doing a bit of basket weaving here." And hold on, I'm just going to connect up.
You say that, but if you've got an hour's deco stop, why not? You might as well come up with a basket.
Okay. Get your knitting needles out. You could crochet underwater anyway.
Yeah.
My mother was a great knitter. She was never without a set of knitting needles, except on one occasion when she flew to America and they confiscated her knitting needles. She must have been about 70, 80 at the time, and in case she ran amok and started stabbing all the passengers. I mean, how mad can you get?
It's a crazy world. It's a crazy world. You're obviously a member of the BZAC Club. So have you shared some of your poetry with your fellow divers?
I'd go further than that. I've actually written some poems for BZAC Club. Well, I'm a member of Kingston and Elmbridge, and I have written a couple of poems to help people remember the stuff that they need to remember. Myself included. Let me try and find one. Here we go. BZAC have a thing called a seeds briefing. Every time they go diving, they do a briefing based on seeds. And of course, no one can ever remember what seeds stands for. So I wrote this poem to assist.
Okay. Go
ahead. It's a short one. Well, safety comes. Actually, before I start that, are you able to beep stuff out retroactively? Because there is a naughty word at the end of this poem. You can beep it out, can you? Or
yeah, I can silence it or just cut it.
Okay. Well, safety comes first, I'll admit. An exercise helps you keep fit. Equipment's important, don't do what you oughtn't, and signal if you're in the ship. When it's talking about exercise, it means the object of the exercise. It's obviously not talking about sort of push-ups and things, but that's how I remember the seeds.
That is specific to BZAC agents.
As far as I know, I've never heard Paddy use it, but I don't know.
No.
And certainly this, I think, with Paddy, for their buddy check, they begin with review and friend. That the BZAC one is slightly simpler. They just use BAR, and that sort of incorporates the other two. And the little poem I wrote for that was, B is for buoyancy, dry suit and jacket. A is for air and your method to track it. R's for releases, your welt belt. Sorry. B is for buoyancy, dry suit and jacket. A is for air and your method to track it. R's for releases, your weight belt and buckles. Forget them and you'll have D wrapping your knuckles. And D is the chief knuckle wrapper.
So any of our listeners, they could maybe write one for the Paddy.
Yeah.
I'm sure they could. You know, the beginning with review and friend is a bit boring, isn't it? Yeah, I'm sure it could be turned into a song or a poem or something.
Yeah, but it's the whole thing of making diving fun, because it can be quite daunting, particularly for younger divers as well, remembering all this. And if they've got a fun way to learn it, then it's all the better, isn't it?
I think the younger divers find it a lot easier to remember these things. When you're sort of my age and you've got a soggy old brain like that, then it's a lot harder to remember these things. But
Today's episode is sponsored by Narked at 90. So let's find out a bit more about them. Narked at 90, their tagline has been beyond technical, which describes them pretty well. John Routley and Brent Hudson launched the company over 20 years ago. They are both technical divers who have logged thousands of mixed gas dives between them over a 30-year period. Using their engineering know-how and diving expertise, have developed bespoke, personal, commercial and military diving equipment and products of a universally recognised, unparalleled calibre.
Their ability to be adaptive and versatile with their developments led them to support the NHS during COVID. Using their superior knowledge of breathing and oxygen monitoring systems to help develop emergency ventilators. They also design and supply the sneaky stuff used by defence-based development groups throughout the Western world, although they can't tell us much about that. If you're thinking of moving across to tech diving or completely new to diving, Narked at 90 can advise and guide on the best equipment and setup for your personal or commercial requirements. Narked at 90 have unparalleled experience of shearwater dive computers and are the longest serving and sole and UK European service centre for those. They are happy to offer technical support, servicing, repairs and upgrades to all Shearwater computers, past and present. Narked at 90 stock Shearwater computers, but are also stockers and technical support centre for many other manufacturers, including Divesoft, JJCCR, Hollis, Revo and Kiss Rebreathers.
Based centrally in the UK, Narctent 90 also offer full rebreather head servicing for selected manufacturers.
Bespoke cable assemblies.
Advice on specific fitting requirements.
Suggestions and guidance for home builds.
Computer laser cutting and engraving.
Pressure testing to simulate 400 metre dives.
So, Narctent 90, a reputation built on supporting both manufacturers and divers worldwide.
Go to narctent90.com and make sure you are following their social media to keep up to date with their latest news and offers.
So, with your diving equipment, have you sort of invested in your own equipment, or do you hire it?
Not yet. I'm hiring it mostly. And again, with BZAC, they lend it to you. Whilst you're studying for your sports diver, that's kind of incorporated, so I didn't need to buy any. But I'm going to have to now, and I'm at the stage now where I'm just about to. Well, I mean, I've got some of it, but I haven't got everything I need.
Yeah. Well, it's good because the diving season really is properly starting. You know, we dive all year round, but some people just wait until kind of Easter time to get back in the water. So it's the ideal time to start looking at what you need and
get stuff serviced,
get you started for
Well, I was diving in Raisby on New Year's Eve, so I don't think I could be accused of being a warm water worse on there.
When we went, it was just after when we went.
It was November, wasn't it?
When we went, there's a load of went diving in Father Christmas outfits.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh yes, was that at Stony or Bobster? Yeah, but it would be one of those two, isn't it?
Yeah. I think they probably all do it. So. So with your diving, hopefully you're going to continue your journey. Are you going to record poetry as you go with your?
Yes, that's the plan. When I was sailing, my logbook, my yachtmaster logbook, was half logbook, but it was also half scrapbook because there were various pictures of the things I've done on there and various certificates. Of course, there was a letter from Yachting Monthly, various bits of bits and bobs I picked up along the way, and I'm doing the same with my diving logbook. Again, that's half logbook, half scrapbook, and I think that's a good way to go about it.
That's good. And you obviously recognise the importance of logging dives. I mean, I know not every diver does, but it is good practice.
I think most divers do set off logging dives.
Good intentions.
I do log everything on the Paddy app as well, but I like to have I'm old school. I like to have a bit of a paper backup.
Yeah, I think I prefer the book actually. I know there's a lot of, especially getting new divers onto the app. But I'm like you, I actually prefer the book.
And it's good as a point of reference if you're going to a different dive site. Just remember,
quite entertaining is I prefer the book, and when we doing the teaching and we do the log books on the app in the pub sometimes because we do
the
it
pub Stony Cove,
you can't often use the app because you can't get a good signal.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing went about 2 weeks ago, the whole thing went down due to some half-baked update that they were doing, so it's not always reliable.
It's the modern way, and there'll be more of that as time goes on.
There is. I mean, do you use the Paddy app as well rather than any other one?
Yeah,
because there's lots wrong with that. I mean, it doesn't integrate with anything, and you can't put pictures in there. And I think there are probably better alternatives. But just go with the flow sometimes. I just thought of something that I should have said earlier because it's to do with me getting back into diving and I missed it. So it's going to take a bit of judicious editing, but if I may, I was in an Indian restaurant with some friends of mine, and we were talking about getting old. And we'd pretty much decided that if you hadn't started doing something by the time you were 70 or 75 at the latest, if you still had the inclination, you wouldn't have the ability. And if you still had the ability, you'd have lost the inclination. So really the trick was to get started on these things that you wanted to do before you were 70. And I was the wrong side of 60 at the time anyway. So there's a couple there that were quite keen divers, Ian and Trish, shout out to Ian and Trish. And Trish put it wonderfully well. She said, adventure before dementia. I think that's a wonderful way to put it. And I said, if I wasn't going to get back into diving sort of like a couple of years ago when I did, you know, if I'd have left it another decade, it would just never have happened. So that was one of the impetuses that got me back into it.
Adventure before dementia.
And we do think that's very good. Yeah. So, and you know, it's a bit like seize the day. You've got to take these opportunities as they arise, and you know, not regret it tomorrow or in a month's time that you didn't do it.
Yeah. Well, exactly. We were talking about running, and some people we know are in their mid 70s, and they do a park run in, what was it,
22 minutes, and you just think that's incredible.
Yeah, no, it would take me 28 weeks to do any sort of running like that.
Yeah, but it also shows anything is possible. It's not, you know, I know we've got to be physically able, but, you know, there are options for everybody.
Diving, you do have to be a reasonable
fitness. Yeah.
Well, that's another thing. I mean, I have, you know, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I did have a triple heart bypass, which I thought would stop me from diving altogether. Mm-hmm. So when I first signed up for that, after speaking to my friends at the Indian restaurant, I booked myself in for a tri dive, as you'd expect. And the London School of Diving actually, they just moved to Chertsey, and they had an open day where they were offering free tri dives. I mean, how jammy was that? But of course, I needed the fit to dive, which I didn't really expect to get. But the diving doctor there was brilliant, and he's not a rubber stamp merchant by any stretch of the imagination, because he's certainly failed to give a certificate to someone I know since then. But you know, he said, "I'm not really that bothered about the triple heart bypass because I've got a letter from your surgeon saying that it's as good as new." He says, "I'm not really bothered about the fact that you're diabetic," he says, "but I'm slightly concerned about the fact that I can hear a heart murmur there. Now, you know, go and get it checked out." So I did. I just called the GP and they just sent me to get an echocardiogram, and that came back as no significant valve damage. So I gave that to the diving doctor and he was happy enough with that. So that's why, you know, why I've got a fit to dive. But I don't know quite how long I'll be allowed to. And I can sort of see why. But the fit to dive certificate, it's either yes, you can, or no, you can't. He's not allowed to say, or he has no facility to say, well, you can only go down to 20 meters or 30 meters or for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. You know, he can't put any caveats on there because it's unenforceable, of course. So yeah, you can see why, you know, why they do it like that. Mm. But again, I'm really not sure how long I'll be allowed to continue diving. I mean, obviously, I've got to get it renewed every year. I've just had it recently renewed, so I've got a year's now. But you know, how long I'll be allowed to, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I think you know, some of that, yeah, you know, obviously will be on your fitness as, you know, as you get older. And it's also about the type of diving that you'll be doing as well. So, you know, and you talking to your dive doctor will clear that up, and you know, he might say to you, it'd be safer for you to stay above 10 meters. You know, because obviously,
well, I'm sure you would. I mean, you know, you can do that in a swimming pool. I mean, but he's not. You know, he's not going to go down to the. You know, he's. You know, if 26 is okay, what about 27? What if I wanted to go to the Zenobia at 28? Yeah, it's. He's not going to nail his ass to the wall, if I can put it like that. On that respect, he's going to say just use some common sense. But he's not really said. You know, given me. Explicit, you know, 20, 30, 40 meters. He hasn't said anything sometimes like that, and he doesn't seem to be quite happy to do that. But we'll see.
Sometimes doctors will do that. Dive doctor will limit the depth that you go to. I know that with previous with other people, they've been limited on how far they can how far down they can go.
Yeah, but the main thing is if you don't feel well enough to dive, you know, you don't die.
Yeah,
you
call
exactly. Well, I mean, I do, and I've as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing wrong. But I mean, we'll see. I mean, I'm just aware, you know, that they say that I've got ischemic heart disease. I don't think I have, to be honest, because I think that just means, you know, clotted blood, you know, arteries, and the clotted ones have been removed, so I don't think I have any more. But you know, it's in the back of my mind at some stages. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah.
Oh, well, so have you got any plans to dive in the coming months?
Yeah, I'm booked in for a dive at what's the place with the pier? Swanage? No, not Swanage.
Swanage. Pier, yeah, down on the south coast.
Not Swanage. It's.
Is there another pier down there?
Where's the place with the dive centre on the pier?
There is one at Swanage.
Oh, it is Swanage then? Okay, yeah. For some reason I was like, yeah. No, I'm certainly booked in for that next month. I'm sure I'll do more training stuff at Raysbury. I'm sort of eyeing up Lanzarote at the moment. Mm-hmm. I do like the look of that. Partly because the diving looks okay, partly because I think it's relatively cheap and easy to get to. But they've also the yellow submarine. I rather fancy a go on that, although that is quite expensive. Nice. And they also do surface mount or surface supply diving there too. The Sea Trek mm-hmm. stuff. And I have done some surface supply mount, you know, diving before, yeah, but that was hat. I do like the look of that.
Mm. Yeah, you said that you'd done a hard hat experience.
Yes, that's right. When you know you're going to want a picture of me, and I'll send you the one in the old copper helmet, you know, just to prove it. But yes, it was great fun. It was with the Historical Diving Society. I just was in the right place at the right time, really. I was looking on their website and they said, yes, you too can dive in standard dress, as they call it. And I thought, well, that'd be a bit, you know, a bit of fun. I wouldn't call it diving, really. I mean, you've got lead weights tied to your feet and you're just walking along the bottom, really, aren't you? But this is a Cromhall quarry. I don't know if you know it. But it's in the same area, isn't it? Same area, so Raysbury and Vobster and that sort of, you know, Bath, Gloucester way. It was great fun. And I really enjoyed that. And there was you know, some old bloke pumping away on the wheel, keeping the air going to your thing. I bought him a drink when I came back out again. Because if he'd have nodded off on the job.
I wouldn't.
If you do, it was in summer. It was in the height of summer, and we were just going in t-shirts. And the only problem I had with it was that the thing really, really dug into my shoulders because normally you're wearing sort of a woolly bear or some sort of, you know, insulative undergarment, and we were just wearing t-shirts. But if you do, and if it's really hot, if you apparently the thing to do is to put a towel around your shoulders, and that will stop the thing from cutting into your thing. But apart from that, I really, really did enjoy it. And on one occasion they had a swing there too, an underwater swing, which I quite enjoyed. And on one occasion I lost a boot. And to his colossal credit, the safety diver managed to reattach this boot, which no one expected him to be able to do, because there's a communication system. I could talk to the surface through the umbilical cord. They could talk to the diver through the wireless, but I couldn't talk directly to the safety diver. but anyway, they worked out, you know, what had happened, and he managed to reattach my lead boot to his colossal credit, because again, yeah, it was quite a feat. And the dive continued. It's great fun. I recommend it to anyone if they get the chance.
I did it in Yorkshire a few years ago now, and that was really good. It was the old, same as you, the old brass helmet. And big plate, big boots, and a total 14 stone that way, all that
long. On you.
Yeah.
So how did you get back up?
So it's a really good experience, actually. I can't remember the name. I'll find it and we can put it in the show notes for anyone who wants to do it. So in the morning, you could do a dive in a hyperbaric tank. Mm-hmm. And you do a dive down to about 30, 40 meters or something. And then in the afternoon, we'd swapped and you get geared up with all the stuff on. They got this great big tank, which is probably about 10, several meters high anyway.
Mm.
And you walk down these steps, clunk, 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 clunk. And you've been fed from the surface. And get to the bottom, and you walk around, and you can see other people through the tank and what have you. And it's like you've got these great big heavy lead boots.
You trying to descend
with these steps, yeah. And then, but I know with the society that you're talking about, they often come to Stony Cove, and you can do it with that, and they'll have somebody pumping the way, and you go walking along the.
The ledge.
Yeah, just only on the shelf.
But to get back up, how do you get back up?
Walk back up.
But what if you're in where there's no slope?
Oh, no, they do it with
Well, you don't, if there's no slope, you don't do it. There's no way you can climb anything with that sort of
I was
weight on
going to say,
you.
you're
You
then
need a
stuck with
slipway. There's no other way to do it. You
it.
can't.
Get a ladder down.
Well, unless they had a crane or something, but no, there's no way you could climb up onto anything with that sort of weight on you. Actually, talking about Cromhall Quarry, and so the only thing I really saw there, I'm sure there's a lot there, but the only thing I really saw was the swing. But there were also some tiny fish there. They were about the size of minnows, but they were the color of goldfish. And I've never seen anything before or since. And I always assumed that somebody would know what they were. Nobody did. I even emailed Cromwell Quarry and said, "Yeah, what are those little goldfish?" And they said, "Well, you've never seen them. So if anyone's ever seen any small golden minnow-sized fish, then yeah, I'd be interested to know what they were."
Well, maybe we'll get some comments in the show notes
Well, maybe.
once the podcast comes out.
You can get golden rudd.
No, a golden rudd's a huge thing. I mean, it's a sort of golden. Yeah. Oh no, it's not that huge, is it? No, it's but no, much much smaller than that. Literally about the size of a stickleback or a minnow. Oh. Much much smaller.
Could it be
I suppose
baby
it could have been.
fish?
But
Did you think we've
I
seen
suppose it could have
amazing
been.
shoals of
But
baby
again,
fish?
they were sort of more torpedo shaped than a rudd, because I think rudds are more sort of, you know. I'm not
Yeah.
explaining myself very well, particularly for those only listening. But no, I don't think it was a rudd.
Yeah, well,
Any
it's always good seeing
description?
wildlife underwater, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's
Even
even
in
better
our
if you know what you're
inland.
looking at. It's even better if you know what you're looking at. And unfortunately, I didn't. But
Yeah.
case are up.
Yeah. So, have you got just one more poem
No,
that you want to read?
I've got it. I think I've read a couple more. I think, what have we got here? Oh, there's that one.
You might inspire some of our listeners to try
Yeah,
writing
I might well.
poetry.
Oh yes, here's yeah. There's two more that I can think of.
Okay, let's go then.
This is one that I wrote fairly soon after I'd passed my open water, and it's called "I've Passed My Open Water." I've passed my open water, and now I'm proud to say I'm ready to explore the deepest oceans straight away. I'll need to find a buddy, one that isn't known. Start again. I've passed my open water, and now I'm proud to say I'm ready to explore the deepest oceans straight away. I'll need to find a buddy, one that isn't prone to panic. We could be the first to ever scuba the Titanic. I'm going to get a spear gun. I might get two or three. And heaven help the shark that tries to swim too close to me, because sharks can be quite dangerous, though some folks say they're not. But I've seen Jaws a dozen times, so I know just what's what. I'm going to dive in caves that no one's ever dove before. Of course, I might need dynamite to help me to explore. I'll get me a rebreather, and I'll probably get a spare, so I'll never need to worry about whacking. I'm going to dive in caves that no one's ever dove before. Of course, I might need dynamite to help me to explore. I'll get me a rebreather, and I'll probably get a spare, so I'll never need to worry about running out of air. I'm going to be a dive master in just a month or two, and I'll teach folk how to scuba, and I'll tell them what to do. So if you don't know how to dive, then why not tag along? I passed my open water. What could possibly go wrong?
Nice. Brilliant.
Oh, so, have you got any aspirations to take your diving further? To be, have you done your like rescue diver or?
No, that's definitely next on the list. I definitely want to do my paddy rescue, and also my BZEC advanced diver, or certainly the dive leader.
Yeah.
I'd certainly like to take it a bit further. Yeah,
Yeah. Yeah.
there's one other.
Definitely recommend the rescue course because I think that
Yeah,
just makes you.
everybody says it's the most fun ever. Sorry, my girlfriend's phone's just going off. Beck.
Sorry.
I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it's ringing.
So you said you had one more.
Yeah, I do. It's called Treasures. It's called Treasures of the Deep. It's a bit kind of cliched and melodramatic, but nonetheless, it's
Well,
a
it's
poem.
poetry, isn't it? It's fiction and
Yeah.
it's, yeah.
Treasures of the Deep. If you were to leave the land and sail out from the shore, a world of mystery awaits for those who would explore. In Neptune's lair, for those who dare to go and take a peep, lies an ocean full of mystery, the treasures of the deep. A pair of scuba divers start to make their bold descent. Who knows what secrets they will find before their air is spent? They head towards the wreck below. They're obviously quite brave. Will they find treasure as their goal, or just a watery grave? As they descend the shot line, the fish come out to see what these black neopene creatures. As they descend the shot line, the fish come out to see what these black neoprene creatures wearing scuba tanks might be. As they descend still further, the water's getting dark. What was that large fish over there? Could it have been a shark? They reach their destination and slow down above the wreck. There's an eerie kind of beauty as they float above the deck. They swim to where the vessel has a puncture in her skin. It's big enough to fit through. They are going to venture in. The divers check their gauges and everything looks fine. The leading diver then ties off and starts to pay out line. He carefully squeezes through the hole. There's not much room to spare. The second diver follows him. He's also taking care. A mere 5 minutes later and the divers reappear. The leading diver signals for his buddy to stay near. They both check their computers and begin the slow ascent. If they go up too quickly, there's a chance they'll end up bent. I'll read that again. A mere 5 minutes later and the divers reappear. A mere 5 minutes later and the divers reappear. The leading diver signals for his buddy to stay near. They both check their computers and begin the slow ascent. If they go up too quickly, there's a chance they'll end up bent. At last, they reach the surface, and thank God the boat's still here. The skipper pulls the pair aboard. The skipper pulls the pair aboard and helps them with their gear. And did they find some treasure to satisfy their greed? The memory of the dive is all the treasure that they need.
Excellent. Okay. Very good.
Yeah, well, I think you'll have to send us the link for the download so that we can put that in the show notes for our listeners.
There is no downloads, really. I mean, that's all I've got so far. There's not really enough to make a book out of, and I don't really have a social media account for them. But I'll email. In fact, I think you've got an email aboard.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah. So you're utterly welcome to throw them in the show notes if anyone can stand reading them again. They're more than welcome to do.
Yes, yeah, we'll pop them. Yeah, and maybe we could put one. We do a monthly newsletter, so we could put one in the newsletter.
Yeah, there we go. Published.
Yeah.
Questions. Should we do questions?
Yes. So all of our guests, we always ask three questions. So the first question, what gets you out of your comfort zone in terms of diving?
Well, I think I kind of half covered this, really. I am aware that, as I say, with a history of heart disease, I may not be able to dive for that much longer. I think I'm probably safe enough to sort of 30 meters, maybe 35. I wouldn't want to go much lower than that. I'm certainly never going to be a technical diver. I'm not that bothered anyway. But, you know, anything lower than 35, I would say, would be out of my comfort level. And I'm happy for it to stay that way. You know, I don't feel the need to keep pushing it. You know, maybe 50 years ago I would have done, but not now.
Yeah, well, you've got to just take into account how you feel. Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Brilliant. And for three people, who would you take?
Ah, yeah. Can they be fictitious?
Yes. Yeah. Anything. Anybody.
From history, whatever.
They can be past, present, or fiction.
I'm a big, big fan of Sea Hunt. Have you heard of Sea Hunt, you guys?
A few.
Sea Hunt? No.
Yes. Oh man, you're missing out there. It's a really corny. A really corny American. TV series about a guy. Oh yeah, late 60s, 68, I think it started off. Yeah. It's all black and white. And it really does. I mean, every time it's a cliffhanger, it really does go duh, duh, duh. You know, every time anything exciting is about to happen, it's as corny as you like, but brilliant fun. And as I say, there's this guy called Mike Nelson, who's a sort of an underwater adventurer. I'd love to go diving with him because adventure is never far away with Mike Nelson.
Yeah. Well, no, that's a good choice. So is there anybody else you'd like to take in to the underwater world?
Well, staying with the Sea Hunt theme, there's a guy, a YouTuber called Alec Pierce. He's a Canadian, and he's been diving since the Stone Age. And he's got his YouTube channel about diving. I can't remember exactly what it's called. But not only does he do podcasts or YouTube videos about vintage diving equipment, but he's also a member of some society that does Sea Hunt reenactment. And these guys, all of whom are about 90 and old enough to know better, they go down there with rubber knives and start stabbing each other and pointing pointing spear guns with no spears at each other and having an absolute whale of a time. I mean, the very fact that he knows so much about diving would be reason enough to want to go diving with him. But to go diving on one of those jollies would be just the best thing ever. I mean, they're having so much fun. And it's all, again, all in vintage gear, too. So, they're in twin hose regulators, no BCDs. You know, it's, yeah, really kind of vintage old stuff.
Mm.
Great fun.
Yeah. And was there a number three?
Well, I mean, I guess it would have to be Jacques Cousteau, wouldn't it? I mean, I'm still of an age where I saw him on telly, you know, not on UK Gold. It was live on BBC One on the black and white set. You know, where it was, was it black and white? No, I don't think it was black and white. But yeah, no, it would have to be. I mean, I didn't realise at the time that he sort of partly invented the aqualung, but yeah, no, he you know, what he doesn't know about diving, didn't know.
Absolutely.
Wasn't worth talking about.
Yeah. And then our final question is, if you had a billboard that the whole world was going to see and you could put something on it, whether it's a statement, something visual, a song, even a poem, what would you put on your billboard and why?
Well, I did consider writing a poem specifically for the purpose, but then I just thought, again, going back to Trish's remark that the adventure before dementia, I don't think I could beat that, really. I mean, it does rhyme, and I think there's no better thing that you could put on a billboard, obviously with a picture of a chap in a brass helmet just about to go diving.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good statement, and you know, it applies to anything in life, really, you know, as well as diving, but you know, or if you're thinking about starting diving. Or just doing something adventurous.
Yeah, no,
do it. Yeah.
Good mantra to have.
Yeah. No, that's been excellent. And yeah, it's been a first for us having someone read poetry on the podcast. And hopefully it won't be the last time.
Yeah. Good trend.
Bit good, couldn't it? Yeah. Yeah. So have you got any social media links if people want to find out more, or are you just happy for us to put?
Not really. I mean, as I say, I'm a mobile spray tanner and I've got my work Instagram, but no divers aren't going to be slightly interested with that. I wouldn't have thought
so. Underwater,
it would wash off straight away, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
maybe one day I will, and you know, I'll probably continue. Sorry,
Gemma,
he's being cheeky.
Gemma was thinking about scroll,
I mean, maybe when I've written some more poems, maybe I'll get a, you know, I'll bring out a little, because the book, the you know, the yachting poetry book, the nautical poetry, is only a little book. It's only about 20 pages long. So maybe I'll put another book on Amazon or something and get a YouTube channel. And if I do that, maybe you'll invite me back and we can push it. Yeah. But at the moment, really, I guess they're going to rely on your show notes.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And, you know, as your year progresses and you get in the water, then I'm sure that you're going to see things and characters on the water side that will, spur your creative mind into writing some more poetry. Yeah. Because we see all sorts of things, don't we?
You do. Yes. You do. Especially new surface cover.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I do listen to a lot of podcasts too, and especially when I'm going to any distance, you know, yours included, of course. You can pick up quite a lot from there. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. And podcasts, I think, are definitely growing in the UK.
Yeah,
I think we're catching America up. I think.
Yeah,
yeah. I think you also. I mean, to be honest, I think you also see. Oh no, that Ask Mark. The scuba thingy.
Scuba Diver Magazine.
Yeah. The scuba magazine one I listen to as well, but the rest are American. But.
Yeah. So, well, it's all good stuff. So the podcast will be out in a few weeks' time and we'll let you know when, and then hopefully you'll share it with your fellow divers and friends.
Yes, of course. You need you're going to want a picture of me, I take it?
Yes, could send some social... So we need something for the thumbnail for the podcast. So a picture of you... If you've got anything underwater or in your dive gear,
well, I think the one in the copper helmet. It's holding the copper helmet, so you can see it's me.
Yes,
I think it's quite a decent picture. Yeah. I've got one like you. Actually, you might want to use it like you. I did the side mount, try side mount at the show a couple of weeks back. And the guys from Dive South sent me a picture of me with the side mount. You can't really see that it's side mount, but there's a couple of pictures of that.
Well, it's good you tried it. And so you enjoy the show?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I had nothing to base it on. I don't know. I mean, some of my fellow club members were less impressed than I. They just said that there didn't seem to be any decent deals there, that everything was pretty much going for going for full price. And then a week later, they got the gall to say, well, because of the show, we're going to give you 20% off. Well, why didn't you do that at the time? You know? But yes, I did. I did enjoy it. And I got speaking to the some people, because already, I mean, I know people that know people. There were some guys there that did diving in Gibraltar, and I was talking, so I went with Into the Blue, that was with the Spanish guys that I went with, and they knew them, and we all knew a lot of the same people, as invariably will happen more and more and more. I did enjoy it.
Yeah, well, it's a great place.
I could only stay for one day. I could only stay for the Saturday, because I was playing the accordion on Sunday, so I couldn't go.
A man of many talents.
A man of many parts, yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll see you at next year's Go Diving Show, won't we? Yeah, if you've got some more poetry.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
more to
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, that's been really interesting, and we'd like to say thank you, Andy, for coming on the podcast and keep writing that poetry.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Well, thank you for listening, and thanks for coming back, and I hope you enjoyed that. Poetry, what say thank you to Andy.
Scuba poetry.
Sorry, my mistake. So thanks to Andy for coming on and sharing those poems with us.
It's a first.
It was a first.
Pretty unique, but hopefully listeners out there, if it inspires you to write some scuba poetry, or you might have already done that. And Andy was brave and contacted us, wasn't he?
Indeed.
Well, not brave, but he wanted to publish it to the world.
He did, and we will.
Yeah.
He did, and we will. So, that's all brilliant, really. So thanks for coming on. If you've got a story like Andy, or a specialist skill to do with diving, other than diving, and we've had a magician, we've had sculptors, we've had painters, we've had, what else have we had?
Well, we've had astronauts, people that have gone in space.
Various people. But if you've got a different skill to bring to the party, then let us know.
Or a different spin on scuba. It's always interesting and very entertaining.
Or a good beard.
Andy, Andy has got, quite a substantial, impressive beard.
Being at my age, I can't.
You're too young. But anyway, also we need to say thank you to Knocked at 90 for sponsoring this podcast. And if you haven't heard of Knocked at 90, you definitely need to look them up. Go to www.knockedat90.com, and they've got all sorts of equipment for every level of diver.
And above all, they are beyond technical.
They are beyond technical. And if you need some advice, or you're looking for dive computers, they're now a Ratio stockist and distributor, and they're a full service centre for dive computers as well. Yeah. So any queries you've got with your dive computers, give them a ring, drop them an email, and their customer service is second to none.
That's awesome. Yeah. To tell your buddy or about us, we do need those reviews. It helps people find us. We're on all the social media, and we're on all the major platforms. But
YouTube as well.
Yes, we're on YouTube. But if you can tell your buddy about us, that'd be really good. Spread the word, spread the diving love, and leave us a 5-star review. That always helps.
And if you want to drop us a message, you can drop us a DM on any of our social media, or an email. The email's in the show notes. If you've got anything that you'd like us to broadcast on the podcast, then drop us a message. Any guest recommendations? It's always great to hear from our listeners wherever you are in the world.
Yeah. So that's brilliant. Okay. Well, I think that kind of rounds things up. So I think we'll just say have a great rest of your day for anyone who's listening. But for right now, that was
the Big Scuba Podcast.
Now that does wrap up today's episode of the Big Scuba Podcast. But if you want to hear more from the podcast, make sure you hit that subscribe or follow button, depending on what platform you are listening on. That way, you will never miss an episode from us. But If you are listening on Apple Podcasts and did enjoy what you heard today, we would really appreciate it if you head to the show page to leave a 5-star rating and review. It really does help us. If you do, please take a screenshot of that review and send it to us on Instagram, and we'll give you a shout out to say a big thank you. If you have any questions for us or anything that has been mentioned in today's episode, be sure to reach out to us on any of our social media platforms or send us an email. The links are in the show notes. We will get back to you no matter what. If you have made it to this point in the episode, we both want to say a big, big thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode.